I want to read another poem from Kicking the Leaves now, but one that has nothing to do with New Hampshire. What it has to do with is perhaps a little mysterious even to me. It's a narrative poem. I've written very few narrative poems. It's a dramatic monologue. I've written few of those over my life. But this is one, and it came in, for me, what was almost an impetuous rush. It was written in 2 or 3 months. Incredible. It's called Wolf Knife, and it's a narrative of an Arctic explorer. Essentially, it's made up. I have an epigraph or whatever it is under the title saying, from the journals of C.F. Hoyt, and then give dates and so on, and I made it up. I was delighted then when the reviewer in the New York Times called it a found poem. It is true that I took the possibility of the story, the suggestion of the story, from the journals of an Arctic explorer, someone named Hall, actually, but I'm not related as far as I know. So, this is entirely spoken by a man, by a Victorian man, a mid to late 19th century man. Not me at all. Sometimes I wish I didn't know I did make it up. It's a bit grim. In mid-August, in the second year of my first polar expedition, the snows and ice of winter almost upon us. Kantiuk is to be an Eskimo name. There are a couple of other Eskimo words which I think are explained by their context. Kantiuk and I attempted to dash by sledge along Crispin Bay, searching again for relics of the Franklin expedition. Now a storm blew and we turned back, and we struggled slowly in snow, lest we depart land and venture onto ice, from which a sudden fog and thaw would abandon us to the providence of the sea. Near nightfall, I thought I heard snarling behind us. Kantiuk told me that two wolves, lean as the bones of a wrecked ship, had followed us the last hour and snapped their teeth as if already feasting. I carried but the one charge in my rifle, since approaching the second winter, we rationed stores. As it turned dark, we could push no further and made camp in a corner of ice hummocks, and the wolves stopped also, growling just past the limits of vision, coming closer until I could hear the click of their feet on ice. Kantiuk laughed and remarked that the wolves appeared to be most hungry. I raised my rifle, prepared to shoot the first that ventured close, hoping to frighten the other. Kantiuk struck my rifle down and said again that the wolves were hungry and laughed. I feared that my old companion was mad here in the storm among ice hummocks stalked by wolves. Now Kantiuk searched in his pack and extricated two knives, turnocks, the Inuits call them, which by great labor were sharpened on both sides to a sharpness like the edge of a barber's razor, and approached our dogs and plunged both knives into the body of our youngest dog, who had limped all day. I remember that I considered turning my rifle on Kantiuk as he approached, then passed me, carrying knives red with the gore of our dog, who had yowled, moaned, and now lay expiring, surrounded by curious cousins and uncles, possibly hungry, and thrust the knives, handle down, into the snow. Immediately he left the knives. The vague gray shapes of the wolves turned solid out of the darkness and the snow and set ravenously to licking blood from the honed steel. The double edge of the knives so lacerated the tongues of the starved beasts that their own blood poured copiously forth to replenish the dog's blood, and they ate more furiously than before, while Kantiuk laughed and held his sides, laughing. And I laughed also, perhaps in relief that Providence had delivered us yet again, or perhaps under conditions of extremity far from Connecticut, finding these creatures acutely ridiculous, so avid to swallow their own blood. First one and then the other collapsed, dying, bloodless in the snow, black with their own blood, and Kantiuk retrieved his turnocks and hacked lean meat from the thigh of the larger wolf, which we ate gratefully, blessing the Creator, for we were hungry. I'm on record as saying someplace or other that a great theme of lyric poetry almost never acknowledged is cannibalism. I find it in Eliot, I find it in Robert Frost, I find it everywhere. I find it in me. Not that I mean that's the be-all and end-all of that poem. Sometime after I had written it and was still quite puzzled by it, Robert Bly explained to me what it meant. And I have never told anybody. I'm afraid he's right.